Food for Thought. I am Dee Dee McGrath.
And I'm Laura Mangone. Here we are for another installment.
Here we are.
Still in COVID kind of lockdown. Not really going anywhere or doing anything.
Sort of, kind of. I think we're going to be, I didn't tell you this, but I think we're going to be famous very soon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Just in time for both of us to be extremely busy with the rest of our lives. We're just going to take off and add more stress to our lives.
We'll make a few $100 a month. I mean, come on.
Okay, what's happening? Tell me everything.
Well, we took over the podcast.
Right.
So now the podcast is going to be, you know, so the way it works is, you know, we tape the show and then we send it to our producer and then he puts in the commercials and then he sends it to the two radio stations that we're on. And then we
this
wait.
Yes, I know.
Yes. And then we wait for him to upload this thing to the podcast. And I've been very frustrated because the podcast is great because that's the only way for people to be able to listen whenever they
anytime,
want.
Anywhere. Yeah, exactly.
They don't have to tune in, which nobody.
Half the time I listen to it, you know, I do review our shows on occasion. Mm-hmm. And I listen to the podcast. Yeah, I think it's great. And I think most people appreciate it because they can do it anytime. It's not like they have to do it at 1 o'clock every day or 5 o'clock on the national station, you know, anytime.
Yeah. So I've taken over on the uploading of the podcast. So now we're not going to be a month behind anymore.
Oh, good.
And
awesome.
Don has taken over on uploading it.
Beautiful.
And I've taken over on the payments. And
okay.
It's going to be immediate from now on. And so when Don was researching this, he's also got us on another platform.
Cool.
And I can't remember what it's called. Okay. I think the one platform we use is Buzzsprout, but he's got us on another one.
Good.
So, you know.
Okay. So fame, here we come.
Yeah. 8 years. You know, come on.
Yeah, that's all. That's great. So we would be remiss if we didn't mention the big news yesterday.
Do it, man.
Yes, for our people that listen on our national station, which started out as a Republican radio station, but has broadened their horizons with lovely culinary content such as ours.
Right.
You'll just have to plug your ears for a minute until we get to the food. Kamala Harris. So happy. Could not be happier. Love her, love her, love her.
Right. Is it true, and I didn't watch the news today, so is it true that there are right-wingers that are actually questioning her status as an American?
They are. That's the first thing.
How is that possible?
So, you know, I don't like to do it, but on occasion I go on our president's Twitter, because he does it like 45 times a day. But as soon as the introduction report started yesterday when they both spoke, I went on and I believe it. I looked for it again this morning and it's gone now. But he, yesterday, for a brief instant, and I hope some news outlet picked it up, said derogatory things about her Indian and Jamaican background.
Yeah.
So, you know, racist that he is.
Yeah.
And again, I'll remind people, I have had a personal relationship with the gentleman. I've done a lot of, you know, I have met him numerous times, worked with him on numerous projects, and my opinion.
He's an asshole.
The opinions voiced by the radio personalities are not that of the.
Yeah, I'm not that of the station, but you're
right.
So you've had firsthand experience knowing this guy's an asshole.
Yes, he's not a nice person.
Okay.
In any event, she is absolutely lovely. I could not be happier. She was so, you know, just it's so refreshing to listen to someone who is well spoken and speaks to the heart of the issue, not the peripheral, you know, the attention-grabbing peripheral nonsense minutia that draws out all these people that are so up in arms, you know, all the stuff that divides. It was really, really refreshing and lovely. And I love her. I hope they win.
I do. Of course I hope they win. There was an interesting post, a Facebook meme that had a picture of a bunch of bees. They look like bees.
Uh-huh.
And then underneath it said, like a bunch of, like close up of bees, like in flight. And it said, even if, like, okay, so first it started out saying, Joe Biden was not my first pick. As a matter of fact, he wasn't my first top 10 picks.
But I
will run naked through a swarm of COVID killer hornet, murder hornets to vote for him and Harris.
It's
so true. Like, Biden's not my first choice, but and I was like, really?
Exactly.
We have to go with an old comfortable, really? You know, it just, but.
Well, I do think he's a good man.
Me too. So you don't think he molests little girls like the right?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
No.
I think he's a friendly guy, and I think he puts his hand on someone's arm when he's talking.
Affectionate, and
he's an affectionate guy.
He has grandchildren, and
yes,
it's like you or I would take our hand.
And I'm sometimes that. I mean, not anymore, obviously, but I kind of am a. Not a completely touchy-feely person, but if I'm having a heartfelt conversation with someone, I might reach out and touch their arm, or I might, you know.
Or even you might, if there's a five-year-old girl in front of you.
Yeah.
And you want to put your arms around her, are you really going to try to avoid her boobs because she's five?
No.
You're going to put your hand across her chest because she's a baby. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
The stuff that people share incenses me
in
terms of the way they try to make that look like something. But I'll tell you what, Laura, I think our demise and a big part of why we are in the situation that we are in right now
with
flipping Trump is because of social media, period.
Oh, absolutely.
People post things and other people perceive it to be true.
Yep.
It's not like the old days where we turned on the news with Walter Cronkite or we got a newspaper, which every story had to be researched and vetted. It's like people just get this spewed information.
That they believe is truth and it's bullshit.
Yeah. And that there's still I have a high school friend that posted this morning. Okay, that Pizzagate, remember Pizzagate?
The way someone ate a piece of pizza the wrong way, right? Or with a fork and knife?
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Remember? Okay, so Hillary Clinton had some emails and her Podesta or something had some emails with a guy who owned a pizza place who was a proponent of Clinton, but he had never met her. And he had offered to do a fundraiser at his restaurant.
Right.
Someone decided to post that in that restaurant, there was actually a child pornography ring going on.
Jeez.
You don't remember this?
I do not remember this. The only thing in the news that I remember is, and now I'm remembering it, when Bill de Blasio ate pizza with a fork and knife as opposed to, you know, picking it up like a real New Yorker and shoving the triangle, you know, shoving it in your mouth. And that was a big deal.
Different kind of pizza.
So
this morning, this happened in 2016. And what happened, Laura, is people started to take this so seriously, that some ass jack came into the restaurant.
Yes.
With a gun.
Oh my.
Pointed it at an employee. Shot the gun, but didn't hit anybody. The police came, the guy was taken away. He was there because he thought there was a child pornography ring going on in the restaurant. So because this ridiculous theory,
it's a ridiculous example of, remember the game we used to play, telephone, when you'd start at one end of the room and someone would say something and it would work its way down the line and right. It ends up being something completely different.
So now I Googled it this morning. Now Pizzagate, that originated with this story, has come back as a pervasive conspiracy theory concept, where there are people in the Democratic Party who are like these basically Satan worshipers and doing child pornography. You know how the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, like,
right,
to tie that into all of these like normal Democratic people. It's insane. So this person from high school posts something about somebody was holding up t-shirts, little kid t-shirts that they found in Walmart. And it's something like, they said things like, pizza me, or I'll take your pizza. And they think, my high school friend thinks today, that it's part of a child pornography ring that's trying to, the fact that we have the children are now wearing masks, this is only further enabling the child traffickers to hide their faces while they are abducted.
Oh my God. So you're reminding me of something that someone sent me last week. And it's someone that I know pretty well, and I thought she was a level-headed person, but she sent me this video of a person saying that he has proof. He's standing with two bras in his hand, and he said, "I have proof here that the government is tracking young women through their Victoria's Secret bras." And he takes the bras and he says, "Now look," he holds one up to the light. And he says, "Look, there's nothing in this one." But then he holds another one up and he says, "Look at this." And he cuts open the tag and pulls open the tag. And yes, there is this security monitor that they put in there for shoplifters.
Oh yeah, but it's really...
it is traffickers. It's Victoria's Secret is behind.
Oh, and Wayfair too.
The trafficking of young girls. So why would they put it in these cute little brassieres? Because it's.
Oh.
I mean, I was like, and I wrote back and I said, "Do you realize that's a UPC scan thing, right, for shoplifters?"
Right. You realize that's insane.
And she said, in her defense, she said, "Oh yeah, you know, we looked at it and we understand that, but could you imagine?" I mean, this, you know, people see this stuff and believe it.
A second, yeah,
yeah, crazy. All right, we should get to food. Although we're
out of time.
Let's do. How about I do my short little what I did a couple of days ago? That'll be a quick little thing, and then when we come back, we're all you. So unfortunately, my best friend Ed and his husband JP, who you've heard me talk of Eddie in the past, he's the councilman of Red Bank, New Jersey. He lost his mother-in-law and father-in-law from COVID. They lived in Florida in Palm Beach, and his mom died on July 3rd and his dad unfortunately passed in, I think it was the 20th, within 3 weeks, JP lost his mother and father. So Mario and I were trying to make time to go over and visit with them. We've obviously been in contact, you know, talking and texting, but we wanted to go pay a visit. So both of his parents, JP's parents, are from Cyprus. So I decided that I was going to bring a whole slew of food and we were going to sit outside. It was a nice day a few days ago and we socially distance. And I made a Greek feast. And I made, you know, you and I are always talking about baba ganoush and the smokiness at Marhaba when they do their eggplant.
Right.
And it came out really, really great. I roasted my eggplant. I actually did it two ways. I roasted it on the grill because I wanted to get that char smoky flavor. Mm-hmm. And then I put it in the oven and roasted it until it was thoroughly cooked through.
I think that's the key, because I told you the last time I did it, I've always followed recipes and I've always, you know, but the last time I did it where I did get the smokiness was it's almost like you have to treat it like a roasted red pepper. You have to put it like right under the
broiler.
You have an electric oven right under that coil to the point where it's practically touching. It has to get charry, and I did it on low for a good while, and then I turned it up to high, like for the last 15 minutes. So it's probably in the oven for like 45, but you really have to work hard, especially if you have an electric oven, to get that char.
Right. Well, I did it on the grill and it worked out beautifully. So I made that. I also made spanakopita, just very quickly, spinach, feta cheese, salt, pepper, garlic, not really highly seasoned, rolled up in phyllo triangles. I made, we had beautiful Greek feta. So I just cubed some of the feta and mixed it with a really good olive oil, parsley, and pepper. Mm-hmm. I had that. I had hummus. I made lamb that I had skewered, and just a really easy marinade. I put onions, garlic, mint, a little bit of red wine, and I sort of marinated it and grilled it. It was lovely. So it was. We had a whole big tray full of Cyprian/Greek delights and a bottle of ouzo to honor his Cyprian parents. So it was really nice. It was really good, and it was nice spending time with them. And how horrible, right? He's lost both his parents during this horrible thing.
Exactly.
All right, so when we come back, we have more food. We'll be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that? I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Okay, we're back.
We're back to Food for Thought. I'm holding here because we're getting back on the subject of food. I wanted to tell you that I made crab cakes this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I've always been conflicted. You know how all of the different varieties of crab meat you've got? Super lump, you've got lump, you've got claw. And then there's a title that's called special.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so I got special because it was on sale.
Was it special?
I think what special means is that, and I actually have tried to Google this, and I think
they pick through it a little bit more carefully, don't they?
I think what it is the lump. So it's the white from the body of the crab.
Right.
Not in really big chunks.
Yeah, I think it's broken up a little bit more.
It's more shredded and so much less expensive. Right. And I think it was on sale for like $12 a can or something. It was great. So
that's great.
I had another, and actually I think it was a mistake. Did you ever scan something at the store and you think, the sign said it was regularly $25 and now today it's $22 and you scan it and it's $12.99 and you look behind your shoulder to make sure no one's looking?
I have never done that, but I can only imagine.
All right. I'm a terrible person, but I was like, hey, I probably read the sign wrong and it's $12.99.
That is like Mario's favorite commercial, which is for IKEA. There's a commercial for IKEA because their prices are so cheap. And there's a crazy looking woman that comes running out of the store towards her husband. And she's screaming, start the car, start the car, start the car. Because she thinks she's like just underpaid. They're going to come running after her.
We're going to find out.
Because it was so cheap. I'm telling you, Mario and I, if we see this, just yell that to him at one point. He will lose it. It's his favorite commercial. Start the car.
Start the car. And, you know, this reminds me of this exact topic where you know you're getting something cheaper than it's supposed to be.
Right.
I swear to God, it was for years at the Wegmans in Bridgewater. We're calling, you know, we're doing the show from New Jersey, right. Philadelphia right. area. And they used to have giant vats of beet greens. Now, I love beet greens. You know, the one with the little red.
Yeah, I love them too.
I love beet greens. So they were supposed to be like $6.99 a pound. You know, it's because it's lettuce. It's very light, you know, so some crazy. Well, someone screwed up in the computer.
69 cents?
Like 29 cents.
It was God.
So I used to go in and I would get these giant, like I'd be have three giant bags of beet greens.
Like hefty bags.
And it would come out to be like $4. And I would look at the cashier like, what? Laura, I did this for, I swear to God, 5 years. And then, I know, karma is a bitch. It's going to come back to me, but.
I know.
I remember going in the store one day and also had this giant bag of beet greens and they were like, that'll be $17.50. And I'm like, what? And I never bought them again. Okay. I'm a horrible person. I'm going to hell. I know.
Actually, I know it's not food, but have you ever had that happen? Like, have you ever gotten outside the store and like realized you had something that you didn't pay for, like underneath?
I have done that and I go back.
I've gone back too. I had actually an argument with my father once. It was a garage door opener when we bought our first house, when we lived up in Surgeonsville, when we bought that house, we were at the Home Depot in Flemington. And I had a whole bunch of stuff, you know, all kinds of projects on the new house. And I had a garage door opener underneath. And they didn't scan it. I forgot about it. We were loading up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot the garage door opener. And I turned around. And my father was like, where are you going? I said, I'm going back in, Daddy. They forgot to scan it. We had like a huge argument because he said I was being ridiculous.
Why?
Because he thought, first of all, I think he was being impatient because he was hungry and we were going out to lunch afterwards and he was elderly at this point. So I don't think it was, you know, he was kind of, I think.
Right, you're not talking about a bulb of garlic. You're talking about a garage door.
A garage door opener. Anyway. He was an honest man, but for some reason at that moment, he was like, nah, don't worry about it.
It was today. Now I did my blatant theft. Okay. Mm-hmm. For 5 years, I got beet greens that I knew
were
more expensive than I was getting them for. But honestly, today when I rang up the crab meat for $12.99 and I know the sign said $22.99.
Were you looking around?
And I just kind of said, okay, I'm not going to do this every day. I'm not going to do it for 5 years. I'm busy. Right. Maybe I misread. Maybe there's another special I don't know about. So I make my crab.
Funny.
And today, and my point of this is because I wanted to talk about vegan mayonnaise. Because
right.
I never was interested in that unless a client wanted it for catering stuff.
Right.
So I get the special crab meat. I do notice with the special and even sometimes with the lump, I always press it with paper towels. I know you don't do this. I try to get the moisture.
No, yeah, it's more. No, we do not. You know, it depends on the quantity we're making. Sometimes I'll toss it in a colander because it's moist.
Yeah, I want to get as much moisture out as I can.
Right.
And there's a little bit of moisture, especially with the special, because it's more finely torn.
Oh, okay.
So it's, you know, you get a little more than the lump. But so all I had was, normally I toss the crab meat. I used to saute scallion and celery.
I do onion and celery.
I have stopped even putting in vegetable. I find that they're really good with just pure crab. And it's so much easier. So I put the crab meat, drain it. I put in today, normally I would do a little Old Bay, but I didn't have it. So I had some za'atar seasoning. Uh-huh. I sprinkled some of that in. Salt and pepper. Typically I would do egg and mayonnaise.
Right.
And
me too.
I've just always done it that way because yeah. I don't know why the mayonnaise kind of helps the flavor in the...
I do too. And sometimes I throw a very little panko in it just to give just a teeny okay. little bit.
Now this is, you're getting me to my next point. So this I just decided to buy this vegan mayonnaise, not for the crab cakes, but because I noticed that every single mayonnaise in the grocery store that I've seen is pretty much made with soybean oil, which I know we shouldn't eat.
Right.
This vegan mayonnaise was made with, it's got, so obviously no egg or anything. It's got, it's made with safflower oil. And I thought, well, why don't I try it? You know?
Yeah. I have to look at, I told you earlier that.
Here's your label. It's a Hellman's.
Yeah, I see that.
And it's the taste, Laura, it tastes like mayonnaise.
So Mario Eats, it's a snooty name, but it's called Sir Kensington's.
Yeah.
And it's a classic vegan mayonnaise. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I'd like to taste it compared to this Hellman's because I can't believe how much, I guess if I had side by side, I'd feel differently.
Right.
But anyway.
So. And you tasted it separately or just in the crab cake mixture? You tasted like...
I just did it right now. I stuck my finger in here okay. and I tasted it. So
I can't even watch. Yuck.
Oh, you don't like that?
I only like mayonnaise on very thinly on a BLT, on a turkey sandwich, but very thinly.
Yep.
I like it in tuna salad or chicken salad or, you know, I like it in salads, but not too mushy.
So you're not
and
like
that's it.
You're not that like one who could have table.
And I like it as a, you know, an ingredient in something, some other dish I'm making.
Right. I'm with you.
And my mother used to go visit my aunt's good friend was from Austria. And when my aunt or my mom would go to Austria, they would beg them to bring containers of Hellman's mayonnaise because apparently you can't get it in Austria or where they lived, the small village they lived in Austria. And my mother said they used to eat it like pudding. They would like put it in a dish and eat it. And that, just the thought of that.
No, you know, I'm with you. I am
can't
one
do
of
it.
Those people. Can't do it.
No.
I stuck my finger in this because I wanted to just, in my mind, compare it to what I remember of mayonnaise.
Right.
I am definitely very iffy with mayonnaise. I did that because I wanted to compare. I feel like I don't want to go back to regular mayonnaise. I'd rather make my own,
okay.
which I do sometimes, but I don't always feel like getting out the Cuisinart and the,
yeah.
you know.
Doing the whole thing.
So anyway... Because I have two things to talk about the crab cakes. Number one, I didn't have the mayonnaise. All I had was a couple of eggs. So I did the eggs and I thought, you know what? It seems fine.
Okay.
So I formed them into the little cakes. And, you know, I started to put them in the oil and Laura, they started to crack. Like they started to like open up. Like
oh boy.
Open. And I thought, you know what? Was it the step of refrigerating that I skipped? Because I usually refrigerate. after I do the egg.
So I usually throw them in the freezer for 20 minutes.
I think I...
But also, if it was really moist, it could have just been the moisture content.
I not only went through a ton of paper towels when I formed them into the cakes,
right.
I squeezed them really hard to get out as much...
Did you put any panko or flour or anything?
No, because I wanted to keep right. carb free. But this is another, now you're getting me to my next point about crab cakes and about how I can incorporate flaxseed. So I told you last week and the week before that I'm on flaxseed kick.
Yep.
So I have this copious amounts of flaxseed. So I grind them and I pretty much eat a couple tablespoons with yogurt every mm-hmm. day. And I'm trying to think of like what other things I can do. I'm realizing, and I could have maybe done this before I realized my crab cakes were going to break. I think they act as a really good binder and could substitute as breadcrumbs.
Yeah, if you grind them up enough, sure, it's going to almost become a powdery substance. You know,
it is. It's like powdery. I made some chicken salad yesterday, and I put a little bit too much of this vegan mayonnaise in it. So it was like a little too mayonnaise-y, which
too
makes
runny.
It kind of
uh-huh.
easy. So I put in a couple tablespoons of the ground flaxseed.
Sucked it up.
Warmed it right up. It
perfect.
Was like, and so now that's a way that I can incorporate flaxseed because I'm challenged in terms of incorporating ground flaxseed in my diet.
Well, you could pretty much put it in anything in that form.
And I think I'm going to start to dredge things. And,
yeah.
You know, I think the next time I make chicken piccata instead of flour, I'm going to dredge it in the ground flaxseed. I'm going
to do it.
And I think it actually has a binding effect. So kind of excited. I know
that's
this is
great.
Nerd chef alert, but I'm kind of excited about my discovery about ground flaxseed.
That's fabulous. And the crab cakes, so you said they started breaking apart. So what did you do?
It did. So for anyone listening who's, you know, wouldn't know what to do, I kind of started to form them back with my hands. I started to, you know, while they're in the hot pan, take the spatula, kind of push them down a little bit. Knew that once I got them stable and not so cracked looking, that once the egg started to cook, that it was going to bind up. So I didn't panic. I just kind of tried to squeeze them back together with my hands as much as I could. Then I took the spatula and then I just waited. I kept it on very medium heat. Just didn't want it too fast. I wanted that egg to cook. And that's what happened. By the time, you know, I let it go long enough. Now flipping them was a little tricky.
Challenging.
Because that top layer was not ready to be flipped. It was not egg cooked. So I'd had to flip like really like poof, like perfect. Like, you know, if I were to struggle with it or like try to tip it over, I just did a typical like
do it
quick. And then I kind of pushed them down again. It all worked out fine.
Great.
Even like I've been doing this for years. Well, how can this happen to me?
Because ingredients change, even the, you know, that's a perfect example of just even, you know, you put a little bit too much of something and the moisture changes. That's why people think they need recipes. But what they don't know is they just need a feel for what the consistency of something is supposed to look like. And they'd be good.
Yeah, but, you know, we have become over, you know, how many, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Have a sense of what to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean...
And you have.
I kind of have always had it because that's how my grandmother cooked. That's how my mother cooked. So it was like when you watch them make something, and you said, "Well, you know, Grandma, how much do you put in there? You know, you put it until it looks right, or you put it until it's this color, or
you
put it until it's this consistency." Like it was more about the texture of something rather than rather than measurements.
Well, that was your mother and grandmother's way of saying just figure it out, okay?
Yeah, which is good because it makes you figure it out. Because it makes you figure it out. It makes you not rely on a book. You just figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
So I made these crab cakes I made for us tomorrow night. For my neighbor, I did them for tonight. So I did them over salad, and I did a bunch of, you know, field greens, and I did radish and tomato, cucumber. I actually chopped up a bunch of celery, which I normally don't do with salads, but I was really limited on what I had.
Right.
And radish. And then I started to sprinkle. I was looking for nuts. I wanted to do some kind of nuts because they like that. Uh-huh. And I couldn't find any. So I found some toasted sesame seeds. So I started to toast
Perfect.
Those over. And then I thought, okay, well, now it's starting to look Asian. So
I might as well just keep going, right? What'd you do?
I decided to, I made a vinaigrette, which was really good. It was a hoisin based vinaigrette.
Nice.
Hoisin, garlic. I didn't have, you know, I couldn't keep it completely Asian. So I did apple cider vinegar and a light olive oil.
I bet it was delicious.
It was delicious.
I'm sure. Those are the best ones.
Totally delicious.
All right, we're running out of time. We will be back in a few minutes with more food for thought.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back. We're finally getting the hang of this Zoom thing, huh? Have you noticed that? Do you like my? Are you liking my cues? I'm feeling like a director here.
Give me the 3, 2, 1,
and then I'm like, hit it, G.
I know, but I used to do this because when I was with Green Birdie, I would do.
Right.
Voiceovers for Rob and Greek Birdie. Uh-huh. And so when I screwed up, if I were doing a voiceover, if I screwed up, he would say for editing purposes, he would just say 3, 2, he would say, just say 3, 2, 1. That way when I hear 3, 2, 1, I know to stop it.
Right.
So I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. Whoops. 3, 2, 1.
Blah, 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 blah. Yep.
3, 2, 1. So anyway, I just want to, I know we talked, you know what? I have to show you the stack of books that I have.
Yes.
I'm going to try to.
Unfortunately, our viewers can't see your stack of books.
I know, but.
I could take a picture of you with your stack of books if you'd like.
Look at all my books that I got from Amazon.
American Dirt. Wait, go back. I've read most of those.
I know you have.
The Water Dancer.
I know. Yeah. You read everything.
I just finished another one that was really good. I mean, I'm literally addicted to Audible audiobooks.
See, I'm addicted to, I do like audiobooks for car driving and when I'm house cleaning, but when I'm just kind of chilling, I really like the hard copy. So, Wild Swans, you already read.
Yep.
Right. Half Broke Horses, you read.
Yeah. Water Dancer.
Yeah. Olive Again.
Yep.
God, you're up on everything.
Hidden I'm telling you, I literally listen to almost one book a day or one book every day and a half. Because I plug them in when I start, you know, I get up before 6 o'clock and I'm working at, you know, I do my workout in the morning or I go for a walk. I'm listening. Then whatever, you know, I'm doing throughout the day. I mean, obviously if I'm at work or I'm doing something, I have to take them out. But especially nowadays, I've been in the car a lot back and forth into the city a few times a week. So I listen.
Right. Perfect time to listen to audio.
Yeah.
Yep. So did you read Hidden Valley Road yet?
No, I didn't. That's the one you just told me about last week.
You gotta read that.
I will. It's on my list.
Schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We both know about
both
that.
Have yep. Family histories of it.
Both have that in our families. And apparently the person who, well, I heard about this through, you know, it was on bestseller Oprah's list, whatever.
Right.
I have a friend who's a psychiatrist and she is listening to the audiobook, and she said what's so profoundly interesting about this book is that they give sort of at the end of each chapter, I don't know if it's at the end of each chapter, but they give sort of an analysis of, you know, these kids. It's basically one kid after the other in one family diagnosed with schizophrenia, which I can't imagine. It's just such a...
Well, it's, you know, my cousin Joey, my Uncle Joe's son is unfortunately has been diagnosed many years now. It generally starts in your late 20s. And it's, you know, it's a horrible, horrible disease. He's a brilliant man. He speaks many languages. He graduated top of his class at Northwestern. He had an extremely promising life ahead of him. And it's basically, he's still a very interesting man. He still has, you know, hobbies and interests and is living his best life. But it's you know, it steals a person's life. Yeah.
It does. And my for you, it's your cousin Joey. For me, it's my father, you know.
Yep.
And so it's something. And I love bringing this up on occasion because it makes me feel like I'm contributing to stomping the stigma of mental illness. You know,
absolutely.
So many of us that have had this in our family that still struggle with it. To have a father diagnosed when you're a teenager and to basically lose him. Except he's still alive, but he's just in hospitals and in homes, and it's just brutal. But anyway, I'm looking at Hidden Valley Road, and I'm like, all right, you can do it.
Yeah, I know. You gotta gear yourself up for it.
Put your big girl panties on and just do it, man.
So for our listeners, if anyone else would like to get more information about mental illness, you can go to NAMI.com. It's the National Association for Mental Illness.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're doing a mental illness awareness.
We could, you know, and for those of our listeners who don't know, I was, you know, this is going to, I hope I'm not going to cry, but I was going to tell you, I won't, but I was going to tell you before, don't worry. She's giving me the hand signs. Don't cry.
Strong hand sign.
I think when our show was at our strongest, honestly, was when my brother was alive.
Absolutely. Dee's brother was our co-host, and he was hilarious. And if you go back, I'm not going to make you cry. And if you go back through the podcasts, go back like 3 years, you'll hear some really good shows with Johnny.
Yeah, I think it was 20. I think he was on the show from 2015 to 16, something like that. I can't remember, but it was a few years ago, and he was definitely
At least 3 years ago.
At least because it'll be 3 years that he died in October, right?
Yep.
So
anyway.
So yeah, I think we should contact NAMI and
absolutely
kind of poster child podcast.
We could do that. We have enough between us to carry on a civil conversation about mental illness.
Anyway.
Present company excluded on both our parts.
Well, no, I got my own thing.
Yeah. All right, we've only got 10 minutes left in the segment. Tell me about some food.
I do. Okay, so do you have any experience with... So we were talking about flax seeds before.
Yes.
I'm wondering about flaxseed oil. Do you ever use flaxseed oil? And it really has a distinct flavor.
I have had a bottle of flaxseed oil in my cupboard for, I have to think how long ago my mom died, because she used to use flaxseed oil often, and I never use it, and I probably need to toss it. I kind of don't want to toss it only because it reminds me of her.
But is it in your fridge or?
It's not in my fridge. It's okay. In my pantry.
I think it does need to be refrigerated.
Yeah, it's rancid, I'm sure. And it's just, because it's one of those things that's shoved in the back of, don't tell me, everybody's got something shoved in the back of their cupboard that they just haven't thrown out yet. So she used to use it in, she would make what today would be called a smoothie. She would mush together fruit and yogurt and nuts and seeds, and she would put a splash of this on it.
Of flaxseed oil?
Yes.
Well, she must have known what she was
doing. Must have, well, you know what? She was, and for all you older people, maybe you are aware, but back in the day, there was a woman named Adele Davis, who was like the first sort of health food guru. And she came out with a book. Maybe I'll post a picture of it. But, you know, a lot of her writings, and I believe she had a radio program, was all about healthful cooking, eating, living. And my mom was a devotee. I mean, she, you know, we had no crap in my house growing up. We only had healthy foods. We had wheat germ on yogurt for breakfast. There were two cereals in the house. It was either spoon-sized shredded wheat or once in a while Raisin Bran. But for the most part, it was just spoon-sized shredded wheat with yogurt and wheat germ. And, you know, my mom was a really healthy cook before she was ahead of her time.
Definitely. I mean, if she was using flaxseed oil, she was definitely ahead of her time. And other oils, and they're very strong tasting, and it's different, obviously very different than olive oil, but they have their very distinct taste.
Yes. I liked it. It almost smells like wheat germ to me. If you smell flaxseed oil, I'm going to get the jar out. It smells the way like whole wheat smells.
It's very earthy.
Exactly.
Very earthy. The same thing, and I only know this because I moved into an apartment temporarily where some people were living before us, and we actually inherited the contents of their refrigerator in their pantry.
Okay.
In the pantry was a bottle of hemp oil.
Huh.
Which, have you ever had that? It's very green.
No.
It's very green, and I know it's from the cannabis family, but, you know, I've been using it for salad dressings, and
what does it taste? Does it have a distinct flavor?
Well, let me get it.
Okay. We've got 6 minutes. Hurry up.
Okay.
And what color is it? Is it clear?
Very green.
Very green?
Mm.
What's it? It's very green.
Dark green.
And what does it taste like?
Hang on.
You're racing to get something to wash your mouth out, so I'm guessing it doesn't taste very good.
Oh, no. I put too much on my hand, and so I wish I could show you this.
All over your keyboard.
But it's as if there's, it's a deep green, Laura.
Okay. So like, wipe it with the paper towel and hold the paper towel up. Let me see if I can see the color. Oh, wow. That's really green. That's like the really nice olive oil we bought in France. It was that green.
But it's greener than any olive oil I've ever bought.
Huh.
And it has a very, I'm really not the best at describing what things taste like. You know, like people will be like wine, like, oh, it has nuances of apricot.
Right, like me. I have been told on numerous occasions that I have a very good palate. But so you can have a good palate and not be able to describe it also.
So here's...
look at that. Nutiva hemp oil, organic superfood, cold pressed. All right. I'll have to look up the benefits of that.
You know, when I think about...
Hopefully you're not going to keel over while we're talking.
No, I think when I think about, you know, having enough money, like recently we've been thinking about like, what would we do if we had a lot of money?
Right.
And I haven't been working for about 5 months at least. And so I've had all this time on my hands, but I've also gotten unemployment, which has been an absolute godsend. And I happen to have not a lot of bills right now. I'm not paying a mortgage. I'm not, you know.
Right.
So I've been able to not worry so much about money. Mm-hmm. And what I'm realizing is the number one thing that makes me happy in life is being able to buy hemp oil
and shrimp.
You said shrimp.
Have shrimp once a week.
Shrimp. I won't even do good cheese on a regular basis because that takes away the joy of having good cheese. I won't allow myself to have good cheese in the refrigerator every day because if you have good cheese all the time,
it's not
like,
special.
Oh, good cheese again.
Yeah, it's not special. Absolutely.
No, I love being able to buy the different oils to have kombucha in my refrigerator, to be able to buy a few books.
So speaking of kombucha, the camp that I usually go to up in Maine, every Thursday night, or maybe it's Friday night. I keep getting it confused. It's Friday night. Sorry. Every Friday night they have, so a couple of the people, the camp is run by a lovely family, and the daughter of the parents that are the caretakers of this beautiful property up in Maine goes up for the summer, and her husband maintains the grounds. And, you know, generally I would see them when I'm up there when I go for camp. And there's a really nice guy that's been working with them. And what they've been doing is they've been having a virtual campfire. So every Friday night, they have a virtual campfire, and they're singing songs, and they're telling stories, and, you know, doing people. It's on FaceTime Live, so I've been, you know, checking in and sending haikus. And so there's a wonderful guy that is up there, and he was going to be running the farm that they have, and he does these installments. So the last time I saw it was a couple of weeks ago. He only does his presentations every other week. The campfire is every Friday night. But so 2 weeks ago, he made sauerkraut, and tomorrow, this Friday, he's doing kombucha. So I will send you the link, and I'll send you the ingredient list, and you can make it.
Yes, because this is going to be great, because I actually have researched it a little bit, but I was sort of just trying to glean everything I could, and it seemed like a big freaking ordeal.
No, he's a riot. You're going to love it. It's really fun to watch.
How do you get the carbonation?
I'm going to send you the list of ingredients. I just got the email about an hour ago of the items that you need to have. And at 7:15 tomorrow, I'll hook you up with the link, and you just go to their Facebook page, and it's a FaceTime Live presentation. If anyone else is interested, it's Medomac Camp in Washington, Maine. That's M-E-D-O-M-A-K, Medomac Camp. And it's lovely. And there's Friday night campfires that you can kind of virtually participate in. And their friend Gavin is doing these like cooking demos. It's really fun. So tomorrow's kombucha.
Cool. I really want to learn more about kombucha.
Well, you will tomorrow.
Okay. We only have a minute left. So
we have less than a minute.
I'm going to run out of time, but maybe for next week. We have, we think our closing on our townhouse is going to be like the 21st of August, maybe. And
we
never go to restaurants, especially lately, but we don't. I know I have to hurry up. Don't give me that hand thing. Hurry up. So we would like to celebrate and go to a restaurant called Golit.
So we're going to have to talk about that next week.
Yes. And I still have a few seconds.
No, you don't. Okay.
Hold up the timer. Hold up the timer, Laura.
No, it's gone. We're out. Oh, we're done. Okay. All right. We'll talk. We'll see you next week on Food for Thought.
Thanks for listening.